When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Got a special interview episode for you all today with the one, the only, Pamela Anderson, a true queen, icon, and legend. Now, I was so excited to get to talk to Pamela about her documentary, which premiered on Netflix at the end of January. It's called Pamela, A Love Story. It's all about her life. It's so fascinating. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it immediately and then come back to this. But the documentary, it's of course all about Pamela's life, all about everything that we know from the public consciousness, but also there was so much going on behind the scenes that was eye-opening from this documentary. So I encourage you to watch it. It was directed by a guy named Ryan White, and it was produced by Brandon Thomas Lee, who's Pamela's son with Tommy Lee, of course. And Brandon, you might recognize from The Hills reboot. He was one of the cast members for the two seasons of The Hills reboot on MTV, but he produced the documentary. And I got to interview them all for this live event for Netflix, and Netflix was kind enough to let me do it as like a crossover Everything Iconic episode, so you can all hear it here. We did it on Mother's Day too, which unfortunately I didn't get to spend Mother's Day with my mom, Queen Linda Pellegrino, but I did get to spend Mother's Day with my spiritual mother, Pamela Anderson. So I hope you all enjoy this chat. There's some really interesting stuff. I mean, she tells this story, I don't want to give it away, but this story about a bathing suit and an intruder, it's fascinating stuff. And so watch the documentary and hopefully you enjoy this chat about the documentary with these three. And I will play it in just a second, but I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also check out Pamela's new book. It's a memoir that she wrote herself, and it's also really interesting and a great, greatly complimentary to the documentary. And you can pre-order my upcoming book called The Jolliest Bunch, which is out October 24th. Pre-order wherever books are sold. And I will now play this chat with Brandon, the producer of Pamela, A Love Story, Ryan White, the director of this movie, and of course, Pamela Anderson.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, everyone just watched the movie. How are you all feeling now? The movie came out back in the end of January. Ryan, we'll start with you. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I mean, I haven't seen Pamela in a couple months. You go through this hurricane when the film's coming out, and we went to a bunch of cities together, and then, you know, you move on to other things. And so to get to be reunited with Brandon and Pamela is really fun, and to watch how the film has been received was exactly what we were hoping for. I knew Pamela was really famous. I had no idea the amount of interest there would be in watching her story. I've made a ton of documentaries, I think 15 at this point, and I think this one is by far the most popular, at least using public conversations as the litmus test. Everybody wants to talk to me about making this film. We were at a wedding last week, and my boyfriend at some point was like, all you're going to do at this wedding is talk about Pamela Anderson. That's everyone coming up to you wants to know what it was like to work with her. So I feel great.
And Brandon, it's Mother's Day. Of course, Mother's Day here. Shout out to all the moms here. But Brandon, it must be so gratifying to see the response from this movie. How have you been feeling since it came out?
I think we all had expectations of what we thought this film was going to be like. You know, 3 years ago, if you told me that this was going to be the reaction, I would have been, I mean, I just wouldn't have believed you. I knew, you know, everyone knew my mom, but they didn't really know her the way that I knew her. And the goal with this film was to just give a glimpse of what I get to see from that perspective and from Ryan's perspective as well. But really the goal, like just for people to kind of see this woman as, you know, who she is, and not just this caricature or this, you know, sex symbol or whatever all the other labels were. But I think the film really does that. Like, just watching it, I remember, you know, the first time I watched, and I was like, you know, this is what I see. You know, and that I think is the really special part about this film is just people getting to know her for who she really is, the positive strive through adversity with grace, amazing person and mother too. I think you really get to see that in this film. You know, she's put a lot on her shoulders in her life, and no matter what, it was always me and my brother, you know, came before everything. And it was a lot of opportunities that she had to push aside because of that. So I think I'm really happy we showcased that in the doc. You got to see the relationship between, you know, me and my brother and her. So,
yeah. I was telling you backstage, I come from a family of boys, and it was so relatable seeing how protective Pamela was of the two of you. And then watching the two of you older in the movie, seeing you so protective of her, it was just a beautiful, I don't know, a very special thing. Pamela, I'm curious, opening up your life like that must have been intense. And have you heard after the documentary has come out, after your brilliant book came out, have you heard from people that have related to your story that maybe you wouldn't have expected?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people after watching the documentary, and they just, it resonated with so many women, so many families. And I just felt this outpouring of love and being rooted for. I didn't feel that before. I know that's not kind of, that's, I just feel like it's been, I mean, the film, I'm glad these guys made it. I mean, it's really hard for me to watch. I haven't really watched even the whole thing all the way through. Like, it just gives me like a stomachache because it, and this feels kind of self, you know, right now, even promoting the film and everything, I always feel kind of like embarrassed. Like, why am I promoting myself? But really, I'm promoting my son's project. I was just the subject matter. I know, I'm here to support Brandon and Ryan and everybody that worked so hard on this film. It was a lot. You know, I'm not the easiest person to work with either. So I just have my ideas. You know, I just feel so strongly about things. And it's not really about the, I don't know. I just feel like everything is an art project. So I'm very, very pleased with the reception. And, you know, it's just fun. But like when I walked into the green room today and I saw part of this, I'm like, you turn that off. Turn that off. I can't see it. Please turn it off.
I love that because we're so interested in you and we're like, I was eating up every moment of the documentary. And I don't know, I think it's a testament to how pure of a person you are that you're like, I want to do this and I want to do it in the most artful way. But then it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know.
It makes me uncomfortable because it's really true and it's really, and I've not really been a person to kind of hide, you know, I just kind of, like I said, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to jump off the bridge. I just want to give 100%. And I said, this is actually a really hard time in my life, like especially 3 years ago. And I said, I just want to look like me. I'm just not feeling great about myself. You know, I just want to tear it all away, strip it all away. This is not something that's going to be polished or airbrushed or anything. I just said, this is me and it's good enough. It is what it is.
Right.
So.
Ryan, there was a moment in the film where Pamela says, I don't want to see this. Take all of these videos. Take it and run with it. And I would imagine there's a lot that you had to cut. And I'm curious, what can you tell me about what you had to cut?
Pamela said she's not the easiest to work with. I have to say, I've worked with a handful of celebrities. I made a ton of docs about non-famous people. Pamela might be the easiest person I've ever worked with on a documentary in that sense, because she was so raw and honest from the very beginning. And there was no pretenses. There was no, you know, like, you will never get Pamela to do a second take or to say something again. She'll be like, that moment has passed.
You
know?
You should have seen the PR photos backstage. We tried to just get it.
I don't think the photographer's too happy with me backstage, but it was just weird. There was a weird light in my face. I was like, can you just stop that light for a second? And she's like, I said, I'm sorry, I'm here. And plus, I want to take pictures with the guys. I said, just the three of us are nothing. Because this show, this movie, and the reason that we're here tonight, I'm here to support the filmmakers.
And it's what makes her one of the best documentary subjects I've ever worked with. From the very beginning, Pamela was not interested at all in the film. She was interested in the process. She loves an art project. Like she said, she was very collaborative. She liked it when I was there and we were working together. And then when I was gone, I think I was like out of her mind. and it's rare. It's super rare for a celeb documentary that someone is that uncontrolling of the process in a documentary. And so, like she said, she handed over all of that footage and all of every single diary that Pamela Anderson has ever written, if we could fit it in our cargo van that we drove back from Canada, came back. And Pamela, like she said, she still has barely watched the film. So she still doesn't even know which moments we chose from her entire lifetime of inner thoughts. And so for someone, especially of her level of fame and celebrity, to be that vulnerable, and that's what you want in a documentary subject, whether they're famous or not, you want that vulnerability on camera, is incredible. And so Pamela, I will say it again, was one of the easiest documentary subjects in that way, and a joy to work with in that way.
Brandon, I'm curious, when you were growing up, what was there a moment of your childhood or in school or something where you had a realization of who your parents were? Does that make sense?
I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous, but I remember, I think this was when I was in like elementary school, probably Pointham Elementary. I was going home with a friend of mine and they were taking me home from school that day, and I was going to go to their house to like have a play date or whatever. I can't remember where everybody else was. But, you know, no one was taking photos of them leaving school, and I kind of like snuck out, and there was no paparazzi or any, you know, camera crews chasing us around. So I was like, what's like, is there something wrong with you guys? Like, why is there no, like,
where's the photographer?
Is there something like, you know, what's going on? And that's, I think, when everyone looked at me in the car, and then I think I might've talked about it with her when I got home. I was like, what's, you know, why does no one take photos of my friends' families? And then she was like, oh, we've created a monster, you know?
And Pamela, I think I saw in an interview you said, I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but that you hired a PI at one point to be with Brandon.
Oh, I did a lot of things.
Oh, no, Indy.
I did a lot of sneaky things like that kind of make sure they were safe. Like I hired like Indy, PE. He was an assistant to the PE, but he was really security that I hired for the school, just because they had people come to the school and try and take them off the playground. I mean, there were some frightening moments, and I didn't want them to feel like they were, you know, I just didn't want that. I just wanted them to be kids. So yeah, I did weird things like that. But I remember one time you're at a surf camp, and I went to pick him up at surf camp, and Brandon came up to me and he goes, are you Pamela Anderson? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what is that? Why are they all talking about you on the, what's going on? Is that good? Is it bad? What's happening?
Ryan, was there anything in the documentary that you were nervous about how it would come across?
Well, I think the archival was so personal to her. Like, she had never watched any of that stuff. So those moments in our film where Pamela's popping in those tapes, those are totally organic. They aren't like stage moments. In fact, Pamela that was the first visit with Pamela in Canada, and she would never do it again. In the way that Pamela won't do second takes, I was like, could we watch a little more archival with you? And she's like, no. That was too much. So that was actually just Pamela wandering in. I always equate Pamela to like a fairy. She's always kind of floating around, even in her own space. And so she would kind of float down even when we were working, and she was popping in a few tapes. And I said to my camera people, like, pick up the camera. She's watching the footage. And so those were the really, we were really careful about those moments that we had to decide to choose, because I think we had hundreds of hours of archival footage in the end. And that wasn't just Pamela and Tommy. That was all of her relationships and the boys, and being very careful about how we chose those moments, especially knowing that one or many of those tapes had been robbed of them and used in a way that totally took advantage of her and affected her life and career. And so we were very choosy in the way that we chose those scenes and edited those scenes, and making sure that they were, because we knew Pamela wasn't going to be signing off on it because she didn't want to watch it, that we felt like that they were, you know, truly representative of her and her relationships.
And how did this project get started? Was it something that you all had decided you wanted to do, or did Ryan approach you, or how did this whole thing get started?
Brandon started it.
Well, the longer version of that is, I think, you know, a couple years ago, I think it was a very interesting time in her life. She was going through a lot, and I just said, you know, there is a lot of things that have happened to this family that just are, I feel like just, it just feels like there's this weight on top of everybody walking around, like that, you know, just everyone's talking about you and they don't know anything and they don't know the full story. And you have this like weight on your back of, I know the truth, but nobody else does. And I think a couple years ago, I just went to her and I said, listen, now is the time to tell your story. And, you know, whether you want to write a book, do a documentary, I want to do this. I'm like, I think we should make a documentary about your life. And I think the amount of people that you will inspire and the amount of things people will learn and the way you will be looked at and received will be so different. Mm-hmm. And I hear myself, like, I think about that I said all these things years ago, and to see it finally happening, like, it still like makes me feel, it's a special time for this family. And I went out, we interviewed a lot of people for this project. And once we kind of stumbled upon Ryan, because that was the thing, right? Like, we had to find a director that, for when she doesn't like everybody, like, it's not like, you know, it's not that easy.
So energetic.
to find somebody that I thought would kind of just, she'd feel comfortable around and be able to open up and tell all these, you know, really hard things. And the planning phase of this is what took so long, right? To find the right partners to make this. And, you know, after we found Ryan, it was kind of like, it got made pretty quickly after that. It all just kind of happened.
Yeah. And Pamela, were you on board like right away, or did it take convincing?
Oh, I said no.
Yeah. How many times did you say no?
I said no, but then I also said, well, you know, just tell me later on when it's kind of more together if it's happening or not. And plus I said, I didn't save anything. I go, I don't have anything. I'm not like that. I'm not a hoarder. I don't save photos and videos and stuff. I don't have anything. And then we went up into the archives and I'd saved everything. It's that mother thing. It's like, you just like, you're a different, you know, you think you're somebody that you're not. I don't know. Anyway. But it's a funny story how even Ryan came on board, because he didn't want to do it. Right?
I did say no, thank you at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Ryan, what?
No, this has not been easy.
Knowing nothing. In general, I say no, thank you to most celebrity projects. And I had these preconceived notions of who Pamela Anderson would be. She was the most famous. I'm born in 1981. So she is the most famous person in the world when I'm coming of age, when I'm a teenager, and then just kind of disappeared from my consciousness once I became an adult, and I didn't know why. And so I just assumed, I came with all of these preconceived notions that I feel like a lot of our audience members probably did, and I wanted our film to unravel those, because once I finally met Brandon, and he persuaded me, I was kind of saying like, I'm really wary of making celebrity films, and he said, just get on a Zoom with my mom. I think you guys are going to find each other really funny. And that really intrigued me, like, because I didn't think of Pamela Anderson as funny. It wasn't the first adjective that came to mind. I got on a Zoom with Pamela and she was hilarious. From the moment the conversation began, I was so entertained and it was so uninterested in the documentary itself. It was just personal connection. And then she sent me the first draft of her memoir and it blew me away, the life story that I didn't know about. And then I was on board. And I think I was in Canada a few weeks later and we began. I mean, I think both of us are people like that. Like we're no, kind of like rebels by nature. And then once say yes, we dive in, all in. And so from the very first day I was there, it was like her throwing her heart on the table and it was, we're doing this together.
Yeah. It's interesting. We look back on the 90s and the early 2000s through, of course, the lens of today. And we look at the way the media treated women specifically back then was terrible. And Pamela, I'm curious, after the documentary, after your book, have you heard from contemporaries, like other people in media? I saw an interview you did with Drew Barrymore, and she seemed to be able to connect with you on certain things. But I wonder, did you hear from other people within the media or celebrities that had similar experiences that you were able to connect on?
I've had a lot of people reach out to me and support me and send letters. I mean, everyone like from all over, all across the entertainment industry that were really happy for me and happy that I told my story, or just like people that come up to me if I'm traveling. And it's been really very supportive.
Yeah.
And very, Also this camaraderie too, because yeah, it is, you know, it's a sketchy kind of business sometimes, and there's things that we get through with a smile on our face, but no one knows how much we've all gone through from our childhoods up until the point that you kind of meet somebody. And so I just always have felt it's important to be kind to each other. You don't know where you come from. And so that's why I was happy to kind of tell my story too, because everybody has a story, and we just have to be good to each other.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with much more. Isn't Pamela so sweet? It was funny. This was a live event. So right before we went on stage, she's like, make sure you keep the focus on them. You know, she was shy. So even though this documentary is about her, even right before we went on the stage to do this Q&A, she's like, you know, ask them the questions. You know, she was nervous and she was shy. And I just thought it was really sweet, but she couldn't have been nicer. All three of them were just so incredibly kind to me. And so I'm so grateful. And to everyone at Netflix, they were very kind to me as well. So I really appreciate them asking me. And we will be right back with more from these three.
Ryan, I want to go back. Was there a chunk that you didn't get to include or something that you really wanted in this movie? Anything specific that if there was a sequel, we would get?
Yeah, well, it's funny because we just saw the exhibit in the other room, and it has the red bathing suit. And there was this incredible and incredibly horrifying story that Pamela told us you should tell it instead of me, about finding someone in her home involving the bathing suit. That was an incredible scene in our film that just felt tangential to, like, you have to figure out in the end what your film is about. And we felt like our film was about love and romance, and that throughout Pamela's life and the generations of family. And so things that feel tangential in the end often end up on the cutting room floor, no matter how entertaining they are. But that was one story that comes.
Can we hear it?
Entertaining? No, I just had, I my mom was in the hospital. My dad was coming into town. So I was preparing a room for him, and someone came upstairs and said, Pamela, there's someone sleeping in your bed. And I was thinking very Goldilocks-y, like something like maybe my brother's wife or maybe someone just snuck in the back door. And we went into the room, and there was a woman in there wearing my red bathing suit, speaking French, blonde hair. And then she gave me a letter that said she wanted to touch me, and that she was there for that. And she had a lot of my clothes under the bed. She'd been there for a while. And then she cut her wrists with glass. And it was just this panicky moment. And I grabbed the kids and we went outside. And
Think we found out because she was like stealing bread or something.
No, she was stealing.
Right?
There was a lot of little things going missing. The bread, like my jean jacket, like just funny things. So I was like, I'm losing my mind. It's, you know, happened. I've lost my mind.
Like, I could have sworn I just bought bread yesterday.
But it was all under the bed. And it was kind of like a room that had an outside entrance too. So she came off the beach. And anyway, she was deported back to France, and she had some issues, and her family was happy to have her back. And I was happy to see her go. And the police asked me if I wanted my bathing suit back, and I said, no, it's okay. Thank you very much, though. But she can just give it to her.
Take it and go.
Let her keep it. Lots of weird, you know, lots of scary moments, but I don't know. I feel kind of like Mr. Magoo. I just somehow just skate through everything. Just things just line up, and somehow I'm here.
You mentioned the red bathing suit, of course, is iconic, and there's been a lot of celebrities that have taken some of your iconic looks. I think Megan Fox, Kim Kardashian. Do you get flattered by that when you see someone recreate like a VMA look or the Baywatch look?
Well, once you're a Halloween costume, you've made it, right? Like Baywatch, barbed wire. I used to give out caramel apples to everybody. It's famous for knowing I'm a caramel apple giver in the colony in Malibu. And people would come as me and Tommy, me and Kid Rock, me and like Baywatch, and just like everyone's like, ha ha, but there's like so many of them that was, like, came by like that. It was different. It was funny.
Do you have a favorite of all of those? Like, is there one look
I don't know. I just know. It's all that caricature part of it. It is flattering. And it is funny that it seems like each of those moments, like Baywatch and that kind of stuff, is a Halloween costume. So that it kind of makes me feel like, and a lot of drag queens too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I'm barbed wire.
I'll never forget my brother renting barbed wire. I mean, my older brother had loved you. And I remember him renting barbed wire, and I stole the VHS from his room, and I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, I love her. Oh, but I was a gay kid. So I just like, I was like, she's fierce. Anyway. Brandon, do you ever remember being on sets with your mom? Like, do you have any memories of being on any?
I actually do.
Yeah.
I remember Baywatch. They used to make me, because I used to love Dr. Seuss, but I remember they'd make me green eggs and ham. What? Every day.
Really? Green eggs and ham?
Oh, the catering service?
Truck. Yeah.
Wow.
The catering truck did any, yeah, they loved you guys. They just like, I had my dog, oh, my kids, green and eggs and ham.
I actually have a good, sounds I have really another odd. Memory. Remember, I think you reported me stolen.
What?
I know, I just wouldn't go to set until I found my babies.
No. You reported me stolen. Remember, Grandma?
You weren't stolen. You were just wandering. You were going, and I said, where are my babies? I was screaming for you guys, and I was really concerned. I just didn't know where they were.
See, like, what actually happened versus what I remember as a three-year-old kid, you know? I don't know.
He was on lots of sets. I mean, in my trailer with me.
Yeah. I think I speak for everyone. We're coming out of the documentary. We all want to know what you're going to do next, Pamela. I feel like you've gotten that question about, will you join White Lotus? We all want you on White Lotus. Or we've heard that question a million times. But I think the root of that is just everyone is so excited because you're having this renaissance. And we just want to know, we're rooting for you. We want to know, what do you want to do next?
Got some things in the works. No, but I also don't really know yet. I always feel like something great's just around the corner. And that's how I've always lived my life anyway. But this, it really feels like something great's coming around the corner. I just don't know what it is yet. So just living in the mystery, that's the best way to live. That's the romantic life, staying engaged in the world and just staying with your heart open and good things come.
Yeah. Brandon, what do you want to do next?
I'm still digesting everything and trying to figure out what's next. I think, you know, I just moved into my new house, so I'm going to enjoy that for a second with my dog, who's been gone for a year.
I've been looking after him.
She just brought him back.
I drove him from Ladysmith all the way here.
Yeah.
So we had a good road trip.
Wait, so do you two like working together? Would you want to work together again?
We work together every day.
Yeah.
We're working together. We have this family business kind of now where him and Dylan and I, we kind of just think about things we want to do. And they're so good at business and I'm so not good at business. And I feel like there's so many things in my life that I didn't do because it just didn't with the timing and I couldn't focus on it. But now I'm like, I will do it because I'm doing it for the team. I'm doing it for us. It's not just doing it for me anymore. So I'm doing some, it's kind of opened up a lot more things for me. I'm thinking a little bit differently, like a grown up.
It was so fascinating. I mean, we talked a little bit about that red bathing suit, but I know you have a partnership right now for a bathing suit line. And it's interesting kind of looking back on that era. And now you're able to capitalize off that. But back then, I think pre-social media, it wasn't as easy of a road to take of, you know,
I had a lot of people try and ask me to do bathing suit lines my whole career, but you know, I was like, wanted it to be sustainable. I wanted it to be, you know, it's so many crazy things. Like people used to think I was crazy because I was vegan like 20 years ago. And people just said, we're not going to do biodegradable packaging made out of corn. Like you're crazy. And now everyone's making biodegradable packaging out of corn, just a little bit ahead of my time. So now we're putting all that and it's in fashion now. So now I feel like I waited. I also did the bathing suit line with Frankie's, who was a little girl who grew up with my kids in Paradise Cove. One of the Cove rats, one of the little kids. And so I'm so happy to see her do so well. So I'm glad I saved this time to do something with her to support her as a young kid I saw growing up.
You know, I don't mean to jump around, but I wanted to ask you about your acting work. And is there, we of course saw that triumphant moment at the end where you're performing on Broadway. And it is, would you say that's the acting you're most proud of? Or is there a moment that you're most proud of acting wise?
I just didn't know what I was capable of. I just wanted to find out what I was capable of. I wanted to throw myself into something. I didn't know if I could sing or dance or act or anything, but I found I could do it all together. At the same time, like everything supported each other. And I remember the opening night and looking out into the audience and seeing my sons in the front of, you know, just in front of me and looking at me with just so much pride. And I'd never seen that before when it came to my work, obviously as a mother, but I needed to do that. So it was just really a powerful moment. And I appreciate doing it. I know Barry keeps calling me to come do an encore. I'm like, I kind of want to leave it as it was. It was such a great experience, just the whole thing, the whole experience was amazing. But yes, I'm proud of that. I don't know what's next, but I feel like I've got a lot more to give. I just want to try new things and push myself.
Yeah. And Ryan, how about you? What do you want to do next? Or what can you tell us?
Getting to work on stories like Pamela. And although Pamela's story had, you know, some very dark moments in it, this was a real breath of fresh air to get to be a part of collaborating with Pamela and getting to tell her life story. You know, I had made a film about Dr. Ruth previously, and they're very different women, but I find them very similar, having spent years with both of them, in that the way that they have fought adversity and still, for whatever reason, Dr. Ruth, I would say, is the ultimate optimist, and Pamela is the ultimate romantic. And no matter how many times she's been burned by us or whomever, she's still going to see the world romantically. And so, you know, I'm always trying to find those types of stories. I want to find, and it doesn't have to be a celebrity, another Pamela that, even if we're working in these dark subject matters, which documentaries have to do, finding like people that, like her, that have an inspirational story that brings some light into the world.
Pamela, we talked about style. I wonder, who were your style icons growing up? Like, were there people that you looked at?
I mean, a lot of those. I remember I did a campaign with Jacquemus, and Simon was like, so who was the stylist that put all those crazy costumes together? Like, you know, like the bedazzled pants and the pink hat. And I was like, it was me. I mean, I just went into my drawer and just found stuff and put it together and thought it was funny. Tommy did my makeup and we walked out the door. So it wasn't like I was trying to be anybody else. I was just trying to have fun. And I was trying to think, oh, we got a red carpet. Let's go crazy. Let's, you know, Tommy was flashing people with, you know, and I it was funny. And we just thought it was funny. It wasn't like we were trying to be too serious.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I wasn't really trying to copy anybody. I think the 90s was very much about trying to be different.
Yeah.
And now I think it's more, you know, trying to be blended kind of in or what's in fashion. I didn't think about that back then.
Brandon, your mom just mentioned your dad. I wonder, have you heard from him since, or what's been the response since it's come out?
You know, I like to keep it like very, you know, the film is about a very sensitive time in everybody's lives. And so I didn't like, you know, I know he's watched it for sure, but I never like went to him and was like, you know, I'm never going to go to him and say, you know, what did you think? And, you know, I let people process it how they're going to process it. I did the same with my brother. I did the same with her. I never really asked what anybody thought about it. So sorry for the uninteresting answer, but
no.
He's very close to his dad. They're together all the time, and everyone, you know, then he's with me all the time too. It's just, they've got very good relationship.
Did you hear from any of the Baywatch co-stars?
Oh God.
Did I?
No.
No.
No, none of them?
No. I mean, I think I saw David Charvet in Malibu. And I don't know. No, it wasn't like anything specific, yeah. But yeah, nothing bad and nothing good, nothing. No.
I mean, is it wild to you that lives on in the public consciousness, that Baywatch is a thing? I don't know.
It was nice. Good, wholesome TV.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you want people to take away from this documentary? What do you hope that after everyone just watched it, what do you want people to go home with?
Going back to that original no thank you when I heard Pamela Anderson, and then getting to know her over the last couple years, I wanted, and Brandon wanted, the audience to meet this woman for who she really is. And so to me, I don't think about outcomes a lot, but getting to release the film with her and see the response and be in rooms with her like this one, where I feel like that she's not a punchline anymore. And we understand that was unfounded, that was wrong, what we did to her. And regardless of how many times she's been chewed up and spit out by us or by the media or society, that she's always remained this romantic. And so I've just loved watching people, whether it's on the street or in an audience, root for Chicago for sure. I had tears in my eyes watching Pamela perform at Chicago, because there was a room of 1,000 people or 2,000 people there. They were there for her, to root for her. And getting to watch that shift, now that I know her and care about her so much, has been really, really rewarding.
Yeah, you mentioned the media, and I did pull this tweet that I saw online. It was from Ann V. Clark. And she said, the montage of male interviewers asking Pamela Anderson about her breast implants in interviews has inspired me. Late night hosts should ask male celebrities about their hair transplants. And I just thought it was true. I mean, it's so shocking to watch that back where we are. Where do you think we are, Pamela? Do you think we've made strides? Do you think we still have ways to go, in your opinion?
I mean, everyone can always get better. Yeah. But I think the point is that I mean, I was just like a small town girl, came to LA. It was my first plane ride. I landed on Gay Pride Day. I started doing, you know, Playboy. Playboy asked me to come to the mansion to go to fight night. And I had to tell them I'm not fighting anybody. Like, I was just like, I was just growing for it, like day by day. And I was just trying to get through it. You know, there's, you know, Rick James is on one, Shirley MacLaine's over here. I'm just like trying to get through each day. And I just always chose to be joyful no matter what and appreciate what was happening and just going along for the ride. And some of those questions, like people say, you know, when I first started getting recognized and people started asking me these questions about certain things, I just was honest. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think about manipulating people or having a publicist or, you know, trying to create the be careful, but you say, I'm never really careful what I say. And so I still feel like in the end, it all turned out okay. Even though, yeah, I made a ton of mistakes. I don't know. I just did the best I could. And I think I'm happy that people are a little bit more sensitive with people, but, you know, you just have to kind of, I just got through it. So I'm hoping things are better for people, but again, I just have my experience and, you know, I got through it and I'm not a victim. I feel like I'm really grateful for my experience and, you know, even my childhood and things that have happened to me, it just made me stronger and it may give me more empathy towards other people. And, you know, so I'm not complaining. I'm actually have a wonderful life and a great life. And all this is just kind of, and it's really weird. Like one of my first companies that I ever created when I came to LA was called Redemption. And I was like, maybe, you know, it feels a little bit redemptive for everything to be so wonderful right now.
Yeah. Well, I think I speak for everyone. We're all just rooting for you and we're so grateful. I think the documentary was just so incredible. And if you haven't read Pamela's book, be sure to check that out because it's also great. I hope are you still journaling?
Every day.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for this wonderful movie. And thank you all for coming. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yay.
I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily, I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now, Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This special segment is presented by KFC and Acast Creative. KFC just launched their chicken nuggets, and these nuggets are absolutely changing the game. Each one is hand-breaded and packed with KFC's famous original recipe. So basically what I'm saying is KFC took all the magic that is a bucket of chicken and packed it into their equally amazing chicken nuggets. I love these nuggets. I think they're honestly the best chicken nuggets on the market. I crave them at least once a week, if not more. Now, if you've been listening to Everything Iconic, I've been interviewing the nuggets in my life. So I did an interview with my nephew Brady, my niece Sophia, and I have my little cousin Christopher here, and I'm so excited to catch up with Chris over some KFC nuggets. Chris, how are you today?
Oh, good. Hey, Uncle Danny. I'm good. How are you?
You just had a birthday, right? Tell everyone how old you just turned.
12.
I can't believe you're 12. It's blowing my... I remember you when you were a little, an even smaller nugget, but now you're growing up. It's crazy.
You're just getting older.
Are you? No, don't say that. Are you enjoying your summer?
Yeah, so far. We just got out of school like 2 weeks ago, so...
Yes.
I think we're going to go on vacation, maybe.
And you were telling me before we started recording and eating our nuggets that you were saying you get together with your friends in the neighborhood and you guys play hide and seek and stuff at night, right? And I was just telling my older brother, I was saying your cousin, I was telling Brian about how we used to play night games when we were your age, and we would call them night games, and it was capture the flag, and it was hide and go seek in the dark, and we just had the most fun in summertime getting everyone together and riding our bikes, and then capture the flag was my favorite. Do you guys still play capture the flag?
We don't play that, but we kind of hide, and we have these cool LED lights that are on a headband that we wear. And then
like
we
a
like
cave,
kind of. Yeah. And then we run around and try to find each other. But we can't really go that far because it's dark and our parents don't want us to.
Yeah. And do you still ride bikes around the neighborhood? Is that, do your parents allow you to do that?
Yeah, I ride my bike everywhere.
Oh, good. Good. Now, are you enjoying these KFC nuggets? Do you like them?
Oh yeah. These are probably my favorite, nuggets.
They're so good, right?
Yeah, and I really like the sauce. I really like the KFC sauce. Like, it makes them so good.
Yeah, they're truly the best. I'm obsessed with these nuggets. Now, what are you up to the rest of the summer? Are you going to be playing sports? Are you doing any activities? What are you doing this summer otherwise, other than riding your bike?
Soccer. We've been playing soccer, and I might play baseball, but I don't know. I kind of wanted to stop playing baseball and just play soccer because that's what I think is most fun and I'm best at. So yeah, I think I'll just do that. And then I think we're going on vacation at some time and I get to bring a friend. So that'll be fun.
Can I be the friend? I want to come.
You're too old. You
know, don't. How dare you say that again? I was also just going to talk about soccer for a second because I used to coach soccer for little kids. My friend Katie B and I don't think you ever met her, but her and I used to coach kindergarten soccer and we had the most fun, but they were much younger than you.
I bet I could score a goal on you.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I wasn't very good. Well, it was so, Chris, it was so fun catching up with you over these KFC nuggets. And I hope everyone goes out and tries these nuggets because they're so good. And thank you for being one of the nuggets in my life. And we'll hopefully get together soon and with the rest of the family. Maybe we need to do like a big family reunion, family vacation, because we haven't done a big one with the extended family in a while. We got to get all the Italians together and celebrate.
Oh yeah, that would be fun.
Thank you all for listening to this segment brought to you in partnership with KFC and Acast Creative. If you're looking to bring a little flavor to bonding time with the kiddos in your life, run, don't walk to the nearest KFC and try the new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets with 100% white meat, perfectly hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. So, so good. Seriously, you've never had nuggets like these. Prices and participation may vary.